It's just loving Him. He loved you first. It's not risky. Just love Him back. He's not going to reject you. Him that comes to me, I will for no reason, He said, reject. He loves you. He said it first. He passed the note to you first. I love you. Will you love me back?
Pastor and inspirational Bible teacher Owen Duncan speaking about our response to God's love on this edition of the Liberty Pulpit. We're glad you can join us as we come to you once again from the fellowship of the Liberty Baptist Church in Ellenboro, North Carolina, proclaiming and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We may feel at times that we don't love God enough, but the real issue is understanding and grasping just how much God loves us. When we realize that God first loved us and begin to grasp the extent of that love, we can, without fear, surrender to His Lordship and begin to freely worship God as He created us to do. On this edition of the Liberty Pulpit, Owen Duncan discusses one of our main purposes in life, and that is to love God as Jesus commanded us to do with all of our heart, our soul, mind, and strength. Pastor Duncan explains that worshiping God is our response to God's love, our giving back to God by loving Him thoughtfully, passionately, and practically. He describes worship as focusing our attention on God, expressing our affection to God, and using our abilities for God. There are still three things that God does not have unless we choose to give them to Him. That is our attention, our affection, and our abilities. When we focus our attention on God, express our affection toward Him, and use our abilities for Him, we are responding to God's love and giving back to Him the love that He first gave us. On this edition of the Liberty Pulpit, Owen Duncan describes the first verse in Romans 12 as one of the best definitions of true worship. He illustrates how loving God is risk-free on our part because He first loved us and because He created us for exactly that purpose.
When you love God back, that's worship. Now, worship is misunderstood today. When I say the word worship, what do you think about? A lot of folks will think about praying. They'll think about singing. They'll think about music, ritual, going to church. Some even think about dancing. I'm going to tell you, this is one pastor don't get it. Amen? That's bad grammar. Folks want to go back and pull out what David did. Well, David went naked. Are you going to do that too? Because he danced before the Lord. I think we missed the whole essence. The criticism of David, God's man, was what God judged Michael, his wife, for. But what do you think about when we worship? When I say the word worship, what do you think about? What does a person look like when they worship? Some folks will say, well, when they're raising their hands or when they're clapping or when they're singing. But I want to tell you something. Worship is far more than just what we see externally and outwardly. There are a lot of ways to worship God. Now, the text, Romans 12:1, I believe, to me personally, is the best text in the Word of God that defines the essence of what worship really is. I beg you to present your bodies by the mercies of God as a living sacrifice. First of all, two things this verse of Scripture tells us about worship. The first thing it tells us, that worship is my response to God's love. I beg you by the mercies of God. Now, God makes the first move. Did you know that? He always does. God never asks us to make the first move. In other words, God created us. We didn't have a thing to do with it. He made the first move. God saves us. God forgives us. God blesses us. God protects us. God provides for us. God always makes the first move. So worship is, first of all, my response to God's love. But secondly, this verse tells us that worship is giving back to God. I beg you, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now the question is this: what do I give God? You ever thought about that? What do you give God? Jesus answered it, made it very clear in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, when He was asked the question, what is the greatest commandment? You remember what Jesus said? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. In other words, God is saying that I want you to love me three ways. First of all, He says, I want you to love me thoughtfully with your mind. He says, I want you to love me passionately with your heart and soul. And He said, I want you to love me practically with all of your strength. Now, there are three things that God doesn't have. Did you know that? With all of His ability to create, there are three things that God does not have unless you give them to Him. Do you know what they are? God doesn't have your attention. He doesn't have your affection nor your ability unless you give them to Him. So understand, first of all, that worship is focusing my attention on God. In other words, God says, I want you to worship me thoughtfully. Have you ever been on autopilot? Have you ever been zoned out during church? Not while I'm preaching. Surely not. Well, let me ask you this question. Why does God want us to focus on Him? You want me to tell you why? Because God is focused on you. The psalmist said in 139, he said in essence this, he said, you've looked deep into my heart, Lord, and you know all about me. He said, you know when I get up, you know when I lie down. What God is saying is, he said, when I'm awake, when it's daylight, you know everything about me. He said, when I'm asleep, you know everything about me. I don't even know anything about myself. I'm dead asleep and you know everything about me. He said, my getting up, my going down, everything about me, God is focused on me. He's focused on you. Now, one of the greatest expressions of love, now, men, I want you to get this one. One of the greatest expressions of love is attention. Did you know that? Let me illustrate. A man says this. A man says, I don't get it. My wife and kids say that I don't love them. But look what I do for them. I go to work every day for them. You see what that family is saying? You say you love me, but attention really lets me know that you love me. Do you remember the first time you were in love? Come on now. Do you remember the first time? You couldn't get that person out of your mind, could you? I will guarantee you might have been 11 years old, 13 years old. Some of you might have been 40, you know. You went to bed with that person on your mind. You got up with that person on your mind. Driving down the road, that person was on your mind. Now, you see, the human problem is this. We call that infatuation sometimes because humanly, that thought process wanes. It's put on the back burner. But you know what God says? God says, my love for you is eternal. I don't do that. In fact, God said to a church in Revelation, He said, you've got all kind of good things I can say about you. I can brag on you. But He said, this one thing I have against you, you don't love me like you once did. And you see, worship is loving God, keeping our attention on Him, focusing on Him. That's worship. God says, I'm focusing my attention on you now. You focus your attention on me. You know, we're so easy. You know, why is it that our love sometimes and our focus and our attention wanes? Because it's the easiest thing in the world for us to lose focus, isn't it? We're easily distracted. That's why we need to limit movement in services such as this as much as possible. I know sometimes it can't be helped. That's why children need to be trained. Trained, that's the parent's responsibility. How to stay put during worship. Now, how do I focus on God? First of all, establish a daily time with God. This is practical. This is a foundation. You start the day with Him. Matthew chapter 6 says, go to your closet and shut the door. Now, what he's meaning there is find you a private place where you can shut out all distractions and get alone with me. You know, in the Old Testament, there was only one place you could worship God. You had to go to the temple to worship God. But since the cross of Calvary and the veil in the temple was torn apart from top to bottom, Jesus said that they that worship me will worship me in spirit and in truth. You worship God anywhere. There are incredible benefits to staying focused. Incredible benefits. That's why the Old Testament prophet said in Isaiah 26 verse 3, he said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is fixed stayed focused on Thee. When we focus our attention on God, which is worship. Listen, you focus on self and you know what will happen? You'll discover worry, fear, insecurity, guilt, discouragement, bitterness, anger, resentment. You'll discover a whole host of negative things. But you focus on God and you know what you'll discover? You'll discover a sense of gratitude. You'll discover hope. You'll discover confidence, peace, love, joy, happiness. You'll discover all these wonderful things. It's wonderful to learn how to focus and worship God every day. First of all, worship is focusing my attention on God. Secondly, real worship is also expressing my affection to God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul. Now, expressing affection is difficult for some. You heard about the old man that married his wife and one day they've been married 30 years. And she said, "You don't ever tell me you love me anymore." And he put his hands on his hips and looked back angry and said, "Look, I told you 30 years ago I loved you, and if I ever change my mind, I'd let you know." Expressing love. First of all, you can't love something or someone without giving your attention to that. Secondly, you've got to express love. If you didn't grow up in an atmosphere where love was expressed, it may be tough for you to do that. But let me tell you something. You've got to learn how to say, "I love you." And most importantly, you've got to learn how to say, "I love you, God. I love you, Jesus." You remember the first time you ever said, did you? I can remember right now the very first time I looked at Hazel in the eyes, those beautiful blue eyes, and looked deep into her soul and said, "I love you." Hey, that's risky. Come on now, you've been there, amen? Do you ever remember when you were in grammar school? Well, what do they call it now, elementary school, middle school? It was grammar school. That dates me. I'm ancient. Somebody, I won't say who, but he said I was older than dirt. I wouldn't dare say who that was, but I'll look at him, amen? When back when you were in grammar school, hey, you fell in love with somebody. Infatuated. Somebody said, "Oh, it's just puppy love," but it sure is real to the puppy, amen? I mean, you send somebody over, and that person, that go-between, goes to somebody and says, "Hey, Susie, did you know Bill likes you?" They don't use that word love. They just say he likes you. They kind of test in the waters. Why? Because it's risky. I mean, that time I looked at Hazel in the eyes, and the first time I said it, those words, "I love you," very first time. You know, she might have looked back and said, she might have looked back and said, "Well, I like you too." It's risky. For your information, she looked back and said, "I love you too." That was nearly 45 or about 45 years ago. But let me tell you something. When you love somebody and you want to run that risk, and the first time you say, "I love you," your stomach may be in knots, your nerves may be on edge, you may be scared. Will they accept it? Will they reject it? But God has taken away all the risk. You see, God has said first to you, "I love you." God has said to you, "I love you." And to love Him back is absolutely no risk. He's removed it all. We love Him, the epistle said, because He first loved us. Many religions, God is an angry God. He's a God to be appeased. He's a God to avoid. He's a God not to draw nigh to, but not the true God, not the Creator God, not the only God. God wants us to love Him. In fact, in Hosea chapter 6, you can read it. God told His people, He said, "I'm sick of your offerings." I'm just giving you a Duncan paraphrase, but He said, "I'm sick of your offerings." He said, "Quit trampling the carpets in my house of worship. Quit piling the offering high." He said, "What I want is your love. attention. I want your passion, is what God is saying. Throughout the Bible, we're told that God is passionate toward us in His love to us. He's passionate. I've been married to Sugarlump 44 years. Suppose I come in one day and I say, Hazel, here's some flowers for you. And I'm giving you three strategic reasons why I'm giving you these flowers. First of all, I'm your husband. Secondly, it's our anniversary. And thirdly, husbands are supposed to give their wives flowers on their anniversary, so here they are. Would she be blessed? I don't think so. I might be blessed. But she wouldn't be blessed. You know why? There's no passion in it. In other words, she wants me to love her passionately. She doesn't want my duty. She wants my desire. She doesn't want, God doesn't want my duty. God doesn't want my perfunctory obedience. God wants my passion. He wants my love. When I understand the depths of sin that He reached down to and lifted me out and placed my feet on a solid rock and all these years of blessing, He's saying, walk with me more nearly. Get as close to me as you can. Die to everything in life and the world and live for me. Focus your attention on me. You ever notice what happens at a wedding? We had one yesterday here. You see two people exchange vows. They walk down the aisle and, you know, the pastor, as I did yesterday, lead them in vows and they say, I do, to one another. You know what they're saying in that, standing before a crowd, their family and friends and loved ones and before God? What they're saying to each other is, I give you my life. I surrender myself to you. I'm committing myself to you. Why? That's the essence of love. You can give without love, but I'll tell you one thing. You cannot love without giving. In Romans 6, God in essence is saying in this chapter, since I have redeemed you, since I have purchased you with my own blood, He says, give yourselves back to me. Some fear that they're going to become a fanatic. There's some folks who think, listen, can I tell you something? The more you know God, the more you love God, the more normal you'll become. Some people, and maybe some of you here today, are thinking, I just don't love God enough. That's not your problem. Do you understand that? That's not your problem. Your problem is you just don't know how much God loves you. My soul, it's not worrying about, do I love Him enough? When it breaks on my awareness and my consciousness how much He loved me, that He literally bankrupt heaven to redeem my old dirty soul from hell, how He turned my life around, how wonderful my future is in heaven as opposed to hell. When I understand how much He loves me, I can't help but love Him back. You see, the reason you don't love God today, sir, is you don't know how much He loves you, how much He cares for you. You would throw yourself at His feet. You would surrender everything you are. You would die to self into the world in order just to focus your attention on Him and to love Him passionately. We've lost the fervor and the passion in today's church, I believe. Thirdly, real worship is using my abilities for God. You see, God wants us to see Him with our mind. He wants us to sense Him with our heart and soul, but He wants us to serve Him with our strength. You know, I've been married long enough to know this one thing, that it takes more than words and kisses to express affection. There are practical expressions that are necessary. There are chores to be done. There's garbage to be taken off. There are things to be fixed. There's errands to be run. There are responsibilities to be shared. And you see, all of these things, you can say it with lip service, but if a lifestyle doesn't match it, do you really love? Colossians 3:23 says this, whatever you do, Do it heartily and all as unto the Lord and not to men. I want you to get this one thing. Now understand this. Understand this. If you don't get anything else out of the message today, I want you to get this thought. In life, it's not what you do that matters. It's who you do it for. You see, I'm serving you secondarily. Primarily, I'm serving Him. You may work at the mill secondarily, but primarily, you're working at the mill for Him. You may be raising kids in the home as a mom, stay-at-home mom, but that's secondarily. You're staying at home raising kids primarily for Him. Everything we do, we're to do as unto Him. You know, our problem today is we want to compartmentalize everything. And so we come to church on Sunday and we reserve that for God, and folks walk through the front doors, put on a little righteous robe, come in and sit down and look holy. And they go out and hang their righteous robe up and go on and live like, you know, I have my social life, I have my recreational life, I have my school life, I have my work, my career, my profession. I have all of these compartments, but I'm going to tell you, God Almighty says, if you love me and if you've got the real thing, you will give me all of your life. Now that's radical. In our day and age and in this world today, we don't like that idea. In fact, Elmer Towns, who I think has his thumb on the pulse of sociology as much as anybody in our generation, Elmer Towns has said this generation is the generation of non-committal. You see, when you join a church and place your membership there, you're committing. When you come down an aisle and you meet a bride there and you say, I do, you're committing. You're surrendering yourself to whoever that is. And God says, you're not going to compartmentalize me and think you're worshiping me and think you're serving me by just going through a little ritual on Sunday morning. Real worship is giving me all your strength, giving me all of your ability. Let me ask you a question this morning. What are you worshiping? You know what I can do? I'm not being smart when I say this. Please don't misunderstand me. I can tell you exactly this morning what you're worshiping. It's whatever you're giving your primary attention to, whatever you're giving your primary affections to, and whatever you're giving your primary abilities to, sir, that is what you're worshiping. Did you know you can worship your career? You can worship making money. You can worship retirement. You can worship pleasure. You can worship sex. You can worship another person. You can worship children. Whatever you're giving your primary attention to, your primary affection to, and your primary abilities to, that is the object of your love. God says, give me all of your heart. What is the first and greatest commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy soul, all thy mind, and all of thy strength. You know what the greatest temptation in your life is? To worship something other than God. That is the greatest temptation of your life. To find something else to give your primary affection to, your primary attention to, and your primary abilities to. Worship is loving Him. My soul, don't we love Him? There have been times, you know, my heart has just been stirred. I just absolutely, I got my sock tops rolled down this morning. Two folks come by the study. Some of you looked, you thought they were literally rolled down, didn't you? That's just a country expression. Young family brought a little child to me and had given her heart to Jesus this week. And then another young adult just burst in my study. I don't think I've ever seen that one lit up like that. Said, Pastor, I just can hardly, something to this effect, I can hardly stand it. Said, this first week in that book, said, I'm understanding now that God has a purpose for me. And she began to tell me what it was. And you know what? Glory to God. I about got Pentecostal and said, that's it. You know, amen. It's just loving Him. We make mountains out of molehills. It's just loving Him. He loved you first. It's not risky. Just love Him back. He's not going to reject you. Him that comes to me, I will for no reason, He said, reject. He loves you. He said it first. He passed the note to you first. I love you. Will you love me back? Now that means you've got to mean it. That means there's got to be a place of surrender where you give everything to God. I want to ask you this question this morning. Would you stand quietly, reverently? A moment ago when I said I could tell you what you were worshiping, I just want to ask you, is there something else in life that flashed into your mind that you said, oh my, I'm giving my first and primary attention to this? Was there something else that flashed in your mind when you said, I'm giving my primary affection to this or my primary abilities to this? If there was anything else that flashed to your mind, probably, I'm going to tell you what happens in spiritual warfare is the enemy came back and tried to give you some excuses and some rationalizations for it to write it off. But I could almost guarantee you that first thought, if there was anything there, was the Holy Spirit saying, I want you to worship me first. If anything came to your mind first, sir, I don't care who you are, whether you're a deacon in the church, Sunday school teacher, you need to come and settle it here at this altar. Jesus says, I'll be Lord of all, I'll not be Lord at all. We don't bargain with God. We don't come along and give Him piecemeal. We surrender it all. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not really sure that I'm saved. Pastor, if I died right now, I don't have any hope or assurance for eternity. Please don't leave this building today, will you? Will you step out of your seat right now in a moment? We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. Will you just come and say yes to Him? Will you come and surrender to Him? He loves you. He wants to redeem you. He wants to save you. But there is no other name given unto heaven whereby men can be saved but the name of Jesus. He loves you and He will save you. You come today. Father, we bow our heads and open our hearts in Your house of worship today. Lord, we thank You for just understanding and realizing what real worship is. Lord, it's loving You with our attention. It's loving You with our affections. It's loving You with our abilities. God, I pray that You'll lead us this morning to respond to the call of the Holy Spirit. Father, for those who need to be saved today, lead them to step out and say, I want Jesus more than anything. Father, there are others today that'll say, there was something that came into my mind other than Jesus Christ when those questions were ran by me a moment ago. And oh God, I want to come and say, Lord, forgive me. I want to snuggle close to You and surrender to You this day. If there's any other reason the Spirit of God is leading you to come, Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll lead them to come. In Jesus' name.
Keith Cooper leading the congregation in the singing of How Great Thou Art, as Pastor Duncan closed his message on worshiping God on this edition of the Liberty Pulpit. Thank you for listening. Our prayer is that this program has ministered to you in some way today. The Liberty Pulpit is an outreach ministry of the Liberty Baptist Church. Most church services begin at 11 a.m., and we encourage you to worship God at a Bible-believing church near your home this morning. After all, it is one of the primary reasons we were created. And when we take the time to realize just how much God loves us, we can't help but to worship Him. And now, on behalf of Pastor Owen Duncan and everyone at Liberty Baptist Church, and until we meet again, may God richly bless you.